We have to start being the most serious people on the planet. Hey, everybody, thanks for tuning in to the Max Clark Show, where we talk about things that matter. First things first, let's take care of a little housekeeping. The Max Clark Show is brought to you by the Clark Center for Civics, Politics, and Global Affairs. That's the Clark Center for Civics, Politics, and Global Affairs. And the Max Clark Show is also brought to you by Our Tiny Little Kitchen Catering and Barbecue. That's Our Tiny Little Kitchen Catering and Barbecue. You can follow them on Facebook and Instagram. And you can also follow the Clark Center for Civics, Politics, and Global Affairs on Facebook as well. All right, guys, let's go to work. Now, this is part three of why lobbying is important. This is part three of our series. The first two parts of the series, we really dug into the ugly side of lobbying. And I just really wanted to show you all what the ugly side was. And then in part three, we're going to shatter the myth of lobbying. Okay. So we're just going to do a quick recap on lobbying, on what lobbying is and what industries spend the most money on lobbying to get their agenda passed. We're going to talk about what a lobbyist is. We're going to talk about how to become a lobbyist and what type of background training is needed and if a lobbyist has to be registered. Okay. Now, I know we went over that in part one, but we're just going to do a very, very, very quick overview as we go into what I'm pretty excited to talk about. Is a way that we as everyday citizens can get help from lobbyists to lobby for our own cause in our communities or what have you, or something that we're very passionate about. We can hire lobbyists at a pretty small fee, I believe it's a pretty small fee, so that we can get some legislation passed and, you know, we can affect policy. All right, now we're going to get to that in a second. But first, we are going to just go over what a lobbyist is. Okay, so a lobbyist is an activist who seeks to persuade members of the government, like members of Congress, to enact legislation that would benefit their group or their interests. That's lobbyists. So you, as an everyday citizen, you can be a lobbyist. Again, the Constitution demands that you petition your government. That's called lobbying. So let's not be afraid of that. Now, who do lobbyists work for? Lobbyists, they represent just about every American institution and interest group. I mean, labor unions, corporations, colleges and universities, churches, charities, environmental groups. Everything. I mean, senior citizen organizations, even state, local, or foreign governments. I mean, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. That's why it is so much. I mean, there's the policy and legislation that's being pushed. Look at everything that they have their hands in. Everything that I just named, that's what they have their hands in. So we can no longer sit around twiddling our thumbs or begging and hoping and marching and protesting, hoping something is going to change, when we have to put in the work. We have to move into action. So if they're going to lobby, then we're going to lobby. It's in the First Amendment. The Constitution demands that you do so. Now, what industries do lobbyists or lobbying firms spend the most on? I mean, the list goes on and on. You know, you got pharmaceutical companies, insurance, electric utilities, business associations, oil and gas, electronic manufacturing and equipment, securities and investment, hospitals, nursing homes, air transport, health professionals. I mean, it's a lot. They got their hands in everything. And if you want to see like a list with a lot, you know, with like exact data, that's been recorded by the Senate Office of Public Records, you can go to opensecrets.org. That's opensecrets.org. And you can find that information there. Now, how does someone become a lobbyist? And what type of background or training do you need? Well, lobbyists come from all walks of life. Most are college graduates and many have advanced degrees. However, you know, that's, you don't have to have that. They prefer that. That's not required, but that's what these lobbying firms prefer. Now, many lobbyists begin their careers working on Capitol Hill and in congressional offices. So a lobbyist, you got to have strong communication skills and knowledge of the legislative process, as well as the industry that you're representing or your lobbying firm is representing. So you have to have some know-how. You can't just go in there, you know, just on the whim, trying to make deals and trying to persuade a congressman or a congresswoman to push for legislation in your favor. That's not how it works. Do lobbyists have to be registered? Well, since 1995, the LDA, or the Lobbying Disclosure Act, has required individuals who are paid for lobbying at the federal level, to register with the Secretary of the Senate and the Clerk of the House. So lobbying firms or self-employed lobbyists and organizations employing lobbyists must file regular reports of lobbying activity. Now, notice that it said at the federal level. So when you get to the state level, maybe that's not a requirement. Okay, so that's something that we will have to look into. Now, in Washington, D.C., there are about 9,700 registered lobbyists at the state and federal level. Okay, so these are registered. Okay, got it. So they're registered, at the state level. They are also registered in D.C. All right, so we just answered that question. Now, what restrictions are there on gifts by lobbyists to members of Congress? So the general gift rule provision states that a member of Congress or their staff may not accept a gift from a registered lobbyist or any organization that employs lobbyists. The term gift covers any gratuity, favor, discount, entertainment, hospitality, loan, or other item having monetary value. All right. So pretty much lobbyists really can't do anything for you legally as far as it relates to any quote unquote gifts. Additional resources I'll give out to you, and I'll try to put that in. I'll put that link down below. As I said before, Open Secrets. Well, you can get more information, and that's a nonpartisan guide to tracking the spending on, you know, U.S. elections and public policy, including lobbying activities. Then you have the Office of the Clerk, and that on there, they'll explain the details of, you know, the Lobbying Disclosure Act of 1995 and the lobbying registration process. So you're going to get a lot of information there. The Center for Effective Government. Now, that's a project on government oversight, and that's the leading nonpartisan independent watchdog. That's something that we need. We need independent watchdogs that are nonpartisan. So, you know, we don't need any watchdogs that are leaning one way or the other because, you know, we know how that works here in the United States. So they champion good government reforms to achieve a more effective and accountable, open and ethical federal government. And then you have lobbyingfirms.com, which is a lobbying industry directory. So you go there, you can get any, you know, all types of information that you need as far as lobbying firms. Okay. All right, guys. So today what we're going to do, we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about lobbyists for good. Lobbyists for good. Lobbyists for Good is a lobbying firm, a group of lobbyists who come to the aid of everyday citizens like us who have issues and concerns that we need to reach our local or federal representatives about, and, you know, these are issues that we need to put on the table, and hopefully we can get some type of policy or legislation passed or maybe stopped. You know, maybe we can intervene on some things that are not so good for our particular situation. So Lobbyists for Good, I think it's a really good program. It's actually a crowdfunding program for lobbyists to help everyday citizens out in their current situation, whatever that situation may be. All right, so when we come back, we're going to talk about that. Lobbyists for Good. We're going to take a little break. We'll be back right after this. All right, guys, we're back. Thanks for tuning in to the Max Clark Show, where we talk about things that matter. Hey, guys, do me a favor. Take a minute and hit that subscribe button. And when you hit that subscribe button, hit that thumbs up button. And if you hit that thumbs up button, hit that bell button right there, so that you can be notified whenever I put out new content, okay? Also, well, on a regular, every Tuesday at 7 p.m., the Max Clark Show will be on every Tuesday. But if I put out any material, any content before or after that, then if you hit that bell, you'll be notified when I put something out, okay? All right, guys. Before we went to the break, we were talking about Lobbyists for Good, right? Lobbyists for Good. Now, you guys can go to lobbyistforgood.org. That's lobbyistforgood.org. So that's lobbyist, LOBBYISTS, the number 4, GOOD.org. Okay. And I'll put that link in the description as well. Now, I mean, this is just really fascinating to see how this crowdfunding campaign works with Lobbyists for Good. So if you want to start a campaign on Lobbyists for Good, so now that I see that we have this platform and this opportunity that where we can make great strides in moving legislation forward or intervening, it's time to stop playing games. We have to stop being on the other side of the computer trying to, you know, trying to be that internet or social media know-it-all when we actually don't know it all. You know, we put a status up and we get a like and we think, hey, you know, my job's done. And that's not how it works. So we have to be more strategic if we want to influence government. If we want to lobby government, if we want to petition government, we have to be smarter and we have to be more strategic on what we do. So sometimes the marching and protesting and, hey, I understand, you know, you're signing petitions and even going to town hall meetings and, you know, screaming at your local representative, sometimes that doesn't work. We need more action, because that's what your elected officials expect. They expect to go to the town hall meetings and get their asses chewed out. They know what type of work they've been doing. So they know, hey, I'm going to come to this town hall meeting on our recess and going to get my ass chewed out, and I'm going to go back on my vacation and spend time with my family. Okay, that's just how the cycle goes. So if you all are interested and really want to affect change, go to lobbyistforgood.org. And I'm just going to show you how easy it is to get started. And so this Lobbyists for Good campaign, it has seven easy steps to get started. All right. I'm going to show you guys how this worked and give me some feedback. Let me know what you think in a comment section. Now, the comment section, I call that the solution factory, because that's where we need to come together and talk. That's the forum to come up with solutions rather than piss and moan about the problems that we have. We're already presenting the issues, the problems, and in the solution factory, that's what that's for, the solutions. All right. So step one. Now, I know you guys hear my dog and my neighbor's dog in the background, so I apologize for that. So listen, step one, you have to submit a lobbying campaign proposal by answering a couple of simple questions about your issue. Okay, so you go and you answer those questions about your issue. And step two is they determine if your issue meets their founding principles. If it does, they'll create a fundraising page for you. Step three, your lobbying campaign has 100 days. So what, three months, 10 days? Your lobbying campaign has 100 days to raise, get this, $5,000. $5,000. Now, hey, look, guys, I'm not being paid by Lobbyists for Good or anything like that. I just did some research on them and seen some of the work that they've done. And I think that that this is something that I need to share with the community. So you have 100 days to raise $5,000. Step four, if your campaign reaches the fundraising goal, they'll hire a lobbyist to work on your behalf. $5,000. $5,000. Now, all of these rich and, you know, these corporations, they hire these lobbyists, these special interest groups, they hire these lobbyists to come out and speak on their behalf. It's our turn. It's our turn. We can do this. We just have to want to do it. What do we have to lose? We get a bunch of people donating money. $5,000, we got a lobbyist to go in and be the mouthpiece for whatever situation that we need, you know, to be dealt with. All right? Anything that we need, any problems that we need to raise to our representatives, this is the way to go. This is the way to go. Now, I'm going to leave a, if you want to, if you don't want to go through Lobbyists for Good, and you say, hey, you know what? I can do this on my own. Send me an email to themattsclarkshow@gmail.com. That's themattsclarkshow@gmail.com. And I will send, and in the subject space, put citizen lobbyists. In the subject space, put citizen lobbyists. And I will send you a step-by-step guide on how to lobby on your own. Okay, it's something that we all need to learn. You know what? Matter of fact, everybody, just send me an email to themattsclarkshow@gmail.com, themattsclarkshow@gmail.com, and in the subject area, put citizen lobbyists, and I will send you a step-by-step guide to become a citizen lobbyist. Okay, the reason why I am talking about Lobbyists for Good is because the elected officials, they will, I think they'll respond to lobbyists a lot better than they will to just your everyday citizen. I mean, they'll talk to us, but I think we can get more done with Lobbyists for Good. Okay, guys, let me continue. Step five, if your campaign doesn't reach the $5,000 goal within the 100 days, they'll refund all donations that were made to your campaign. You can't get any better. You don't have anything to lose. If you go 100 days and you don't raise $5,000, say, you know, you hit the deadline 100 days and you've only raised $3,500. They're going to refund all that money. They're going to refund all that money. Everybody get the money back. So it's a win-win. The people who donated, they're not going to be mad at you and, you know, kicking your door down looking for the money because it's going to be refunded back. All right? Everything. Step six, successful campaigns continue to raise money through what you call stretch goals. And they continue, and they help the lobbyists continue to work. All right. Step seven. So, you know, it can go beyond a month or, you know, however long you got that lobbyist for that $5,000. I think it's a month. All right. If you use the stretch goal, you can have that lobbyist hired for a lot longer than that. And step seven is they monitor their lobbyists closely. And they assist in their efforts to influence government. And they update your campaign supporters about, you know, where they're at with your particular issue. And they build coalitions of stakeholders working on your issue. Guys, this is great. Okay, don't forget, go to lobbyistforgood.org. That's lobbyistforgood.org. I can't wait to see what type of issue we can come up with, you know, what type of problem we need solved, what needs our attention right now so that we can hire a lobbyist. We can raise this $5,000 to get started and hire a lobbyist so we can get the ball rolling. It's time, ladies and gentlemen. It's time. We have to stop sitting on our hands and feeling and acting as if we are helpless, like there's nothing that we can do, because we are the people. We the people. We the people. We have to act like it. So guys, take the time out and check out Lobbyists for Good. Go back and check out part one and part two about why lobbying is important. And it talks about the ugly side of lobbying. But we also talk about the good side of lobbying. And we talk about how the First Amendment demands that we petition our government. And that means to lobby. When you petition your government, that means you're lobbying. And that's the everyday citizen. They just have firms that pay people a lot of money to do it. You know, how they say money talks, and you know what else walks, right? So guys, again, make sure you hit that subscribe button, hit that thumbs up, hit that bell so that you can get notifications of when I put out new content. You can follow me at The Max Clark Show on Instagram and Facebook at The Max Clark Show. Hey guys, let's talk about it. Hit me up in the Solution Factory. Give me some solutions. Matter of fact, give me some issues that you think that maybe we can help, you know, raise money for lobbyists for, and we can get things rolling. Especially here in Chicago. Man, we have a lot of issues in Chicago and Illinois. There's a lot of issues that we need to focus on so that we can make this state and this city a better place to live. All right, everybody, I'm going to wrap it up here for our three-part series on why lobbying is important. It's important because it's your constitutional right, and you have the right to talk to your government and tell them what your issues are and tell them why it's important to you, and to tell them why they need to help you and why it should be important to them. Again, we have to start being the most serious people on the planet. Love somebody, but more importantly, love yourself.